You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I got to tell you, I cannot wait to see that crow touchdown dance. Do you think he's going to be like flapping his arms like a bird? What do you think?
No, I think it's going to be just a little bit more like a close to the vest, like funky dance of some sort.
Maybe something with pizza Lunchables.
I just want to know if Zagur is going to be out there doing it with him.
Oh, for sure.
That'll be another fine.
No, I'll just be back behind the yellow lines, behind all the cameras.
There you go.
Wouldn't you want me to be dancing, Gibbs?
I would, because it would make great entertainment for this show.
Great entertainment, and it means the Browns are scoring touchdowns.
That's a novel concept.
That's what
it
means.
Are we asking too much?
No, but that's what's exciting about it. That's what I think.
All right, so you guys have been talking about running backs all day. And I literally sat down here about 30 minutes ago after a meeting I was in ran late. Here's my question. Like, it's just like the quarterback talk. It's not going away. They brought in a couple big-name running backs and worked them out. We know this. So why, you know, I think there's something to this running back thing here at 12 or 19.
You do.
I do.
Okay.
I think on this one where there's smoke, there might be a little fire.
And what do you think about it? Is that something that you would personally want?
Well, my question to you is this. If you have two running backs, do you not have a starting running back? Is the by committee good enough to win?
When your
primary function is to run the football.
I think with the guys we have, they can.
And I think also, too, that if you go out and spend a first-round draft pick on a guy, as Jim O'Neill said when he was in here, we've got to go draft three starters with 12, 19, and 43, that Gurley or Gordon, whoever it might be that comes here, is expected to be the immediate starter simply because of the draft value that we went out and got him at. I think there's some animosity in that room, you know, with Crow and T. West competing at this point right now without having a third running back to compete with their reps. You know, there's animosity in that room, and then you've got guys fighting now for a backup position, or are they all fighting for one spot and going to kill each other, and then you still might not clearly have a starter.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I felt there were issues last year when there were three running backs.
Right.
I think I really think Crow or West could carry the load.
I do too.
I'm more of a Crow guy, but I want to see Terrence West put in the work this offseason and see what happens.
I liked what I saw from West when he was focused and working hard.
Yeah, I mean was it the Ravens game? I think he had a monster game.
He
in
did
the Ravens
in Baltimore.
Game.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And I know it was him going home, but there were flashes for him last year. You know, and I think for Crow, if you're going to be successful and you're going to play and you want to be an every down running back, you just got to hold on to the football. That's really what he's got to do.
I mean, yeah, and I think that's something that he's going to work on. But you had Crow last year, 607 yards, 8 touchdowns, West 673. If you looked at the games when they, you know, for the most part, when they got Crow got actually involved in the game, he had 11 for 77 and a touchdown against Pittsburgh. 5 for 32 and 2 scores against Pittsburgh the first time, but then 12 for 88 and 2 against Atlanta. And then the run offense kind of fell apart. Buffalo, Indy, sealed 14 for 54 and a score, 16 for 55 against Carolina. Terrence West, you're talking about the big game at the end of the year. He showed sometimes when he was actually given the rock that he could be incredibly productive as well. And you look at the games where he was the main guy. 16 carries, 100 yards against Pittsburgh, 19 for 68 and a touchdown against New Orleans, 26 for 94 and a touchdown against Cincinnati. And then the end of the year, the 18 carries, 94 yards and a score against Baltimore.
I disagree. Like 16 carries for 58 yards, is that what you said?
16 for 100, 19 for 68, which was not a great statistical day.
Oh, it's terrible.
26 for 94, and then
18
for
either.
94 and a touchdown. We ran the ball very well against Cincinnati. By a certain point in that game, they knew we were running the ball
exactly. Literally
every single play.
Yeah, I'll give you that one.
What I believe to happen is I think that John DeFilippo and Wilbert Montgomery and Mike Pettine are going to look to that room for X of number of carries/receptions, And at some point, you're going to call plays to a certain player's strength and not. But more so than anything, it's going to be diverse enough for you to change it up and mix and match those guys. So you're getting a steady dose of a healthy running back. That's what I love. That's the hardest thing is when you're out there on a, you know, 8, 9, 10, 12 play drive defensively, and you're getting a fresh running back like every three carries, every three downs. You're getting a fresh running back to hit you. And also, by the way, you're going to hit you with a different – so maybe Crow's a little bit more the zone read guy, or I mean the zone running scheme, whereas West might be the power running scheme behind a fullback or, you know, out of 12 personnel with Dre or Barnage or somebody, you know, leading him through the hole. You don't know. But having two guys like dual starters is huge for this offense.
But here's my question. If you are if you're rotating backs so much – does that hamper your back's ability to get into a rhythm?
Yeah, and more so than anything, I meant like on a long drive where you're, you know, you're steamrolling. But I think one guy's going to come out of the week of practice as the starter, and he's going to be your 60% guy, your 65% guy, and he's going to get 65% of the load. But then also, too, if you're 35% of the, you know, the load guy, I mean, in this case, we'll say T. West is your 35%, and he gets running hot, you're gonna run him and skew that number. But you've got to enter the season. You can't enter the season at 50-50 trying to make everybody happy.
I guess I just I see a primary back. I want a primary back to get 20 carries a game.
I do, too.
And I don't think we really did a good job of that last
year. I think
year.
Both are capable of doing that.
I agree.
That
both are more than capable on this football team.
I think they are definitely capable of doing it.
But you got to. But I need that though. I need 20.
But I just think there are other things. If you look at, say, Denver last year, and I know they have a good offense, but they plugged C.J. Anderson in there, and he did just fine. I think
they got Peyton Manning.
I know, but I'm saying if you have a good offensive line, and you can run the football, a lot of people are going to be able to run the ball successfully for your teams.
Well, and I mean that goes back to the old Bronco days after Terrell Davis. Like right. They just put a guy in the system.
It didn't matter
and
who
worked.
It was.
I'll hear.
Didn't matter who it was. And I think that is a part of it. I do think that it is important to know, you know, that this team, I think, has other urgent needs. You have two young guys who I thought did very well as rookies in a less than ideal situation where you had no passing game to support them. You lose Alex Mack, and yet they still were solid.
And you had no mentor because he
Ben
was
Tate
a malcontent.
Right. So I think they did a very good job. I'd like to see them in year two.
I agree. And drafting, we'll conclude this little conversation with the fact that drafting a first round running back would be stupid for the Cleveland Browns.
I'm not going
to
say
stupid. I agree to disagree with you.
But I don't think it's happening. I don't think that's happening.
I do want to ask Nathan if he's changed his tone on Kelly Olynyk today.
Oh, my God. Mitch Kramer. What's the FAHQ paddle of Ben Affleck? Mean Ben Affleck needs to get out there and go after him and take him down.
I will say this. It does, having played, like, you're taught at all levels how to hook a guy. But
that was like an arm bar. He was trying to break his arm.
The problem was when he started tugging on it.
Yes.
I know.
Yes.
That was the issue. Like, you learn how to hook guys to hold them down so you can get a rebound, so you can go for a loose ball, all that stuff.
Yep.
But the way he did it, and he's not going to get suspended. Nothing's going to happen. That guy's a scrub. I told you that on Friday.
It was ugly. It was ugly. What do you think is going to happen with the Cavs, Gibbs, since you weren't here earlier?
I don't know, man. I do not feel good. Let me put it that way. I don't.
They shouldn't be allowed, though, to just be thugs and ruin the course of a season.
But, I mean, J.R. Smith lost his mind. The Kendrick Perkins thing is totally overblown. Like, yeah. you knew what Kendrick Perkins was coming into the game for, and it wasn't
sure.
to play basketball, which I loved, by the way.
How cool is that to have that guy on your team?
Yeah, exactly. But I will say this. The J.R. Smith thing, he shouldn't get more than a game suspension. If you go back and look at the replay, Crowder got someone behind him and actually, like, knocked his knee, and his knee buckled. So he was going down when he got hit. He didn't get hit. If he'd gotten hit, he would have been out unconscious.
Yeah.
And that's not the case. Crowder was actually going down before he got smacked. And it was like a WWE face smack. Come on.
It was closed fist.
It wasn't closed fist.
Watch
go
it
back
again.
And look at it.
I will. I did already.
You need to go back and look at it harder.
Okay.
Go look at it
go
harder.
Go back to your meeting.
No, thank you.
216-578-0850. We're asking people right now who their favorite draft experts are. And, of course, with all the linking of the Browns to a running back in the first round, which Gibbs is buying into. So if you had Gibbs, you'd take Gurley at 12 if he's there? That's
no,
what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying I feel like that team is leaning towards taking a running back with one of those two first-round picks Thursday night.
You think what's the percentage chance are you putting on there?
I would say 40, between 40 and 50%.
Wow.
Wow.
Something tells me that I just, the more, I would hope not, to be honest with you. I'd like to see the two backs we have get a chance, but I'm not, I got an uneasy feeling they're looking at running back.
I hope not. I think that there are good running backs to have in this draft. If you want to get a running back, take another one in the third round. I just don't think that you need to.
I mean, and who's the other guy that didn't play last year? The name escapes me right now. That we got from the 49ers. Was it the 49ers?
Glenn Winston. It's Robert Nelson. My man walks by the studio here.
Yeah, like Glenn Winston's, they talked him up a ton last year. So
they like him, and okay. I know Wilbert likes him.
Then why? Then you shouldn't need to go get another running back. We haven't even seen that guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have a good feeling.
All right.
Maybe
we'll
it
see.
Was lunch. I don't know.
Maybe it was lunch. All right. Well, you'll let us know what you think about the running back. Also, who your favorite draft gurus are when we come back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.